Jesus, we thank you for your loving hand that rests upon every generous heart, every giver, every person who has contributed to the work of your ministry in this house. And we praise you for the way that you have been glorified through the finances that have been received. So, Lord, we receive these gifts with thanksgiving, and we bless your name for every giver. Bless them, we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, everybody say praise.
Praise.
Everybody say praise.
Praise.
Everybody say unparalleled praise.
Unparalleled praise.
This is the word that God put on my heart for 2023. So as I took time last fall to pray and seek God as to what I was to preach on and focus our year on together in 2023, this was the word that God put on my heart. Unparalleled praise. Unparalleled means having no equal or match. And praise is to glorify and express approval and great value. So here was my prayer all year long, was that as a people, as a community of faith, that our reaction to life all throughout 2023 and beyond, but focusing on this year, our automatic reaction to life would be praise. So that just like when you go to the doctor and they hit you with that thing in the knee here and your knee goes up, what's that called? Any doctors in the room? A reflex, thank you. Well, that feels good. I needed to crack my knee. You hit it and it pops out there. Okay, my vision, my prayer for this year was that praise was going to be our reflex to everything that life threw our way. That when we received good news, we would praise him. And when we received bad news, we would praise him. This was my prayer and belief all throughout the year. And since yesterday, or sorry, last Sunday, we celebrated the birth of the King. I wanted to continue to focus on Jesus as our King this morning and tie a ribbon on this theme of praise. So the title of my message this morning is All Praise to the King. If you have your Bibles, open with me to the Matthew. You know what I mean. The Gospel of Matthew. The Gospel of Matthew, chapter 13. And while you're doing that, I'm going to read a few verses from the 27th Psalm. 27th Psalm. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to eat up my flesh, my adversaries and foes, it is they who stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I have asked of the Lord, and that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to gaze at the beauty of the Lord and to inquire or meditate in his temple. This is David who wrote the 27th Psalm, and this was the man more than anyone else in Scripture who knew he had a revelation of what it meant to praise the Lord. He had a stirring in his heart to be a person of praise. And he wanted to, this was his prayer, I want to dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life. Why? So that I can gaze at the beauty of the Lord. I want to tell you today that the Lord is beautiful. The Lord is beautiful. And it is easy to look at beautiful things. Amen? If you were to go and to travel the world and to see different places, the Grand Canyons, or if you were to, you know, take a 3-minute drive that way, you'd see the Niagara Falls. And we live here, so we take it for granted. But you look at the beauty of God's creation, and nobody has to convince you to look at something that's beautiful, it's captivating, it draws your attention. And we're quick to turn away from unpleasant things, right? It's hard to watch pictures of people fighting or of war. We immediately want to turn our heads away. If we're watching TV with our kids and some kind of a scary movie preview comes on or something, the immediate reaction of my children is to turn away. Because it's hard looking at unpleasant things. But it's easy to look at beautiful things. I want to remind you today that the Lord is beautiful. And I want to tell you that if our world would see him as he truly is, then every person on planet Earth would long to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. But the reason that some might reject this thought is because they are looking at him through a broken lens. So I want to give us a fresh lens to look at the Lord through. David wrote this. He said in 2 Samuel 22:4, I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Psalm 34:1, I will bless the Lord at all times. His praise shall continually be in my mouth. Psalm 45:17, I will cause your name to be remembered in all generations. Therefore, nations will praise you forever and ever. This has become a desire of my heart, that my praise would inspire the nations around me and the generations after me to look to Jesus. Is that a beautiful vision for your life? That your praise would actually catch and become contagious for nations and generations beyond you. And David actually fulfilled this, by the way. There was nobody who had a revelation to worship like David. We walked through this early in January of this very year, that David, he employed almost 10,000 people on full-time staff whose full-time job was to praise the Lord. He had 4,000 gatekeepers. Okay, so that's all of our parking lot people, our ushers, our security. Can we give a round of applause to our first impressions people? 4,000 gatekeepers. He had 4,000 who were playing instruments. Okay, so this morning we had Ron and Andy and myself. We had three. Right? How about 4,000? We'd need a bigger stage, don't you think? And 288 singers. Okay, we had three this morning. 288 singers. Almost 10,000 people that David said, this is your full-time job. They weren't allowed to do anything else. They couldn't work with their hands. They couldn't be involved in any other industry. They were full-time. Here's your job. Praise the Lord. David said this in Psalm 119, verse 164. Seven times a day, I praise you. Some of us are thinking that once a week is kind of enough. David says seven times a day. If you remember when David was bringing the Ark of the Covenant back into Israel, he would, the second time around, he would have the Israelites, the Levites who were carrying the temple on their shoulders just as they were supposed to. He had them stop every six steps to praise the Lord. Can you imagine stopping every six steps to praise the Lord? Praise you, Jesus. I thank you that I'm still walking, that I'm still breathing, that there's breath in my lungs to praise the Lord. David said, one thing I have sought after. Here's what I want to do. I want to gaze at the beauty of the Lord. Do you know the first reference to the word praise in Scripture was referring to a beautiful woman? I'm going to give you some deep theology. You ready for this? Genesis 12:15, when Abram entered Egypt, the Egyptians saw that the woman, this is Abram's wife Sarah, was very beautiful. And when the princes of Pharaoh saw her, they praised her to Pharaoh. The very first time that praise is ever mentioned in your Bible and mine, it was a bunch of servants of the king in Egypt. And they're saying, you need to see this beautiful woman who has just walked into town. They praised her beauty to Pharaoh. Now, before anyone in the room gets offended, let me read another verse. 2 Samuel 14:25 says, now in all of Israel, there was no one so much to be praised for his handsome appearance as Absalom. From the sole of his foot to the crown of his head, there was no blemish found in him. Ladies, is that a good looking man that you just heard the description of right there? Now, we didn't get any description of Sarah. We just said, like, she's beautiful. That's all that we get. From the crown of his head to the sole of his foot, there was not a single blemish. What there has to be a spiritual point to me saying all of this, right? What is praise? Praise is seeing something that's beautiful and saying something about it. Praise is seeing, let me make this about Jesus now, praise is seeing the beauty of Jesus and saying something about it. Can I tell you today, church, the Lord is beautiful. The Lord is more beautiful than the most beautiful person, the most beautiful waterfall, the most beautiful thing in all of creation. The Lord is beautiful. He is wonderful. He is merciful. He is compassionate. He is gracious. He is gentle. He is loving. He is faithful. He is generous. He is thoughtful. He is sincere. He is filled with character and integrity. Listen to me. Every good quality that you would want to find in a spouse, the Lord has it. Every good character trait that you would want to find in a friend, the Lord has it. Every possible good characteristic that you would desire to see in somebody, the Lord has it. I want to tell you today, church, it's easy to look at the beauty of the Lord. One thing that sometimes I get distracted with on my phone is this Photos app on my phone. If you have an iPhone, you get these mini movies that they make. Have you seen these? Where they put together a compilation of all your memories. So we've got some of these up here. So these pop up on my phone. Have you seen some of these? Not with my family, that would be creepy, but with your family. So they pop up and they make these mini movies. I don't have to make the movies. They set them to music. I just press play and enjoy, right? And this on the wife, by the way, on the wife, on the left is my wife. And I want you to just notice how not smart my phone is. It thinks that my wife is my daughter, Genevieve, because they look the same. If you took a picture of both of them when they're like 3 years, 4 years old, they look the same. So everything that has Christine says Genevieve. So there's a slideshow of Genevieve. So you watch one video, and just when you think you've been blessed enough, it pops up with more. And 3 hours later, you're still just clicking and watching all these things, right? Why is it so easy to continue to do that? Because it's easy to look at beautiful things. All right, let's go to the next slide. I don't want you to be distracted by all the beautiful people on the screen there. Now, this is not everyone's initial reaction to the Lord. Not everyone's initial reaction to the Lord is that he's beautiful. A lot of people, their initial reaction to the Lord is, God, if you're good, why am I suffering? God, if you're good, why am I struggling? God, if you're good, why was this year tough? God, if you're good, why did things not go according to my plans and my prayers? Have you ever heard people ask these questions before? You ever ask these questions yourself? I want to remind you this morning, it's a foundational aspect of who God is. I want to tell you something. It sounds simple, but this is foundational to your life and mine. You ready? God is good. And we've got the kids in the room, so we're going to teach the kids what we do, okay? So I'm going to say God is good, and you're going to say all the time. And then I'm going to say all the time, and you're going to say God is good. You ready? God is good.
All the time.
And all the time.
God is good.
One more time. God is good. And all the time. It's who he is. You need to refocus, refilter, get that image in your heart and mind about who God is. He is a good God. And how we respond to him is praise. We've been doing it as a church for 2,000 years. The Church of Jesus Christ has been getting together, and we've been worshiping, and we've been praising, and we've been lifting up our voices. And it's unlike any other time where people get together and sing songs. Anybody ever been to a concert? You're like, I don't know if I can tell, Pastor, the concerts I've been to, right? Been to a concert? Anybody done karaoke? A few of you done karaoke, right? Okay, unlike, this is not a concert, and this is not karaoke. We put the words on the screen, but there's no bouncing ball to help you follow along, right? It's a different environment. This is a different, unique environment when we gather together, and we all, as a community, we lift up our voices and we sing a song together. What is that about? We're worshiping Jesus. We're praising the God who gave us life and breath, the God who died on a cross for our sins. It's who he is. He's a good God. So Matthew 13, I want to read you one of my favorite parables that Jesus tells. Matthew 13, verse 24. Jesus put another parable before them, saying, "The kingdom of heaven may be compared to a man who sowed good seed in his field. But while his men were sleeping, his enemy came and sowed weeds among the wheat and went away. So when the plants came up and bore grain, then the weeds appeared also. And the servants of the master of the house came and said to him, 'Master, did you not sow good seed in your field? How then does it have weeds?' He said to them, 'An enemy has done this.' So the servant said to him, 'Then do you want us to go and gather them?' But he said, 'No, lest in the gathering of the weeds you root up the wheat along with them. So let both grow together until the harvest. And at harvest time I will tell the reapers, gather the weeds first and bind them in bundles to be burned, but gather the wheat into my barns.'" So Jesus tells this story. He says there's a man and he sows seed into the ground, good seed into the ground. While the servants of the master are sleeping, an enemy comes and sows weeds. The servants don't know that the weeds have been sown. So when they wake up and they begin to see the wheat growing, they also see weeds growing. And what do? They go to the master and they say, "Master, what did you do?" So let me make a parallel for us. Here's what that looks like. God, if you're good, then why did my son get in a car accident? God, I know you're good. You say that you're good and you give good things. Every good and perfect thing comes from above. But if you're good, then why didn't you answer my prayer? Why didn't I get into the university they applied to? Why didn't I experience healing the moment that I prayed for it? Why? Anybody ask these questions? Here's what Jesus says. An enemy has done this. While you were sleeping, you didn't know. See, here's the reality is that we don't see our enemy, Satan. We don't see him. But how many of you have seen the results of him? We don't see him place that thought in our mind. We don't see him bring that temptation before us. But we see the results. And those are, to follow Jesus' parable, weeds. How many of you have experienced some weeds in your seasons of life? So weeds are the sudden loss of a job. See, weeds are debt. Weeds are sickness. Weeds are struggling, suffering, conflict, family drama, stress, anxiety, depression, loneliness, on and on and on. And here's what happens. We look up to God and we say, "God, if you're good, why this?" And I want to remind you today of a foundational a doctrine and understanding of who God is. God is good. And the reason why you see weeds in your life and mine is because we have an enemy. Now, part of our enemy is the devil, but let's not blame the devil for everything. Maybe you've met the other enemy in your life. How many of you have looked in a mirror? Sometimes we contribute to our own suffering. Can I just get like a quick amen? That's the truth, right? We contribute to our own suffering. We have the devil who's doing his own thing, and we have ourselves. And the book of James says that we're drawn away by our own sinful desires, and then it leads to death in all kinds of areas of our lives. So we have enemies, but what I want to focus on today is not our enemies. I want to focus on the beauty of the Lord and his goodness. And we ought to praise him for all that he's done. Don't blame God for your troubles. Don't blame God for sickness. Don't blame God for family strife. Don't blame God for stress. Instead, give him glory that he can heal you of your sickness. Give him glory that he can calm the storms in your family. Give him glory that he can make a way where there seems to be no way. And if you spend all your time looking at weeds, here's my concern. You'll never appreciate the beautiful grass that's all around it. You'll never see the beauty of the wheat that the Lord is growing because you're spending all your time looking at the weeds and complaining about the weeds and tweeting about the weeds and texting about the weeds. Here's what I want to say about weeds. You ready? This will bless you. This will encourage you. Get used to them. Get used to weeds. Remember, the servant goes back to the master and says, "What should we do, master? All these things have been sown. Now there's weeds. Should we go pull out the weeds?" He says, "No. Because then you could pull out something really good." See, have you ever experienced something really terrible happen and something really good come out of it? That's God, isn't it? God can take something that was intended for evil and turn it for good. So he says, don't get rid of the weeds. You're just going to have to get used to weeds. I'm not saying you pray for weeds. I'm not seeing you saying that you wake up every morning and say, "God, what weeds am I going to experience today?" No, but we ought to be prepared to experience some tough seasons in life. This year, I want to tell you that the Lord has been good. As a church family, we have experienced the blessings of God, the goodness of God in notable ways. We have seen God raise up new leaders, new ministries in this house. We have seen new families come and get plugged in and serving in key areas. And I couldn't list to you all the wonderful people that God has brought, that God is using for ministry in this place. We've seen discipleship. We've seen people grow in their relationship with Jesus and with others. This last year, this year, 2023, we've seen 19 people get baptized in water. How about that? Praise God for that. And we're doing at least 4 next Sunday to start the year off. We've seen new ministries birthed in the last 12 months. We've had more ministries launched that I could take the time to list. We've connected with so many newcomers to Canada. We've hosted gym drop-ins and English lessons. And God is bringing these opportunities to us. Christine and I started praying about a year ago Just God, give us opportunities as a church to serve our community, to serve those that you are bringing into Niagara. And opportunities are coming our way. We have a homeschool co-op, Kingdom Kids, that's meeting here twice a week during the week. On Mondays and on Wednesdays, we have, I believe there's about 60 kids who are here, homeschool parents who are plugging in and doing something here together at the church. And that's opening up to high school students in January as well. We have Kingdom Dancers happening Friday nights, and we had a Christmas recital a few weeks ago. We had 300 moms and dads and grandparents in here, and we got to preach the gospel to them. On Easter weekend, I received a phone call from one of our district leaders, and he called me, and it's a Saturday night before Easter Sunday morning. And he was explaining how, we were having so many newcomers to Canada come into the Niagara area. He said that there was several of them in Toronto that were just being moved to Niagara. And he said, I'm wondering if you could build a connection, a relationship. They've been going to one of our churches in Toronto. We want to be able to connect them at Niagara Worship Center. Can you get about 30 people out to your church tomorrow morning for Easter Sunday? I was thinking about pumpkin pie, I'll tell you the truth, when I got that phone call. But you pray and God opens doors, amen? And since, if any of you have been here at part of our 9 o'clock service, we've been busing in about 30 people, newcomers to Canada, and establishing relationships with them. And it's such an exciting thing. They reached out to me and they said, Pastor, we miss our food. We want to have some traditional African food. They said, could you open up your church gym so that we could have a traditional African Christmas dinner? So two Thursdays ago, we had 120 newcomers to Canada here. They said, we'll bring in the food, we'll pay for it all. We just want you to preach the gospel and tell people about Jesus. It's amazing. Let me brag on Jesus for a moment about last Sunday. Last Sunday evening was Christmas Eve. So we were at Club Italia, our 31st annual outreach to serve our community and give a dinner and gifts to all those who come. And we had purchased food for 450 people, knowing our chef Doris said we can stretch it a little bit if more people come. So 450 people came, and then 20 more people came, and then 50 more people came, and then 20 more people came. And then 13 more people came. We're out of tables. We're like, okay, find another. We're like pulling end tables over, kicking people out of chairs. We need your chair. Squeezing everybody in. We had between 575 and 600 people. The chefs working in the kitchen, they kept saying, loaves and fishes, loaves and fishes, loaves and fishes. Because not only did we feed the nearly 600 who came, we had 120 volunteers and we never ran out of food. We had leftovers. I don't know if there was 12 baskets, but we had leftovers on Christmas Eve. Let me talk to you about last Sunday morning. We made a decision 5 weeks ago or so to do 3 services on Christmas Eve morning because we were running out of parking. Now, we didn't know that we were going to have our expanded parking lot in time for the Sunday, so it just happened to be done already. So can I be honest? Last Sunday morning, I was nervous. Because we were going to 3 services, and you know what I love? I love a full room. I would rather us be in one service, sweating, uncomfortable, rubbing up against each other. No room to pray at the altar would just be this little sliver right here. That's what I would love, right? The full room. So to go to 3 services, I'm going, oh God, I don't want to, Lord, please, I don't want a service with like 30 people, 50 people, right? Last Sunday morning, between all 3 services, we had 571 people, which is by far the largest Sunday service, by far, by 100 people, the largest service we've ever had. Easter of this year was our largest, and it was 480, by far. Don't hear me celebrate numbers and think that it's all about the numbers, but let me tell you that numbers matter because numbers are people. So don't leave here and say, oh, Pastor's just excited about numbers. No, numbers are people. Like, you're a one, right? You matter to God. So numbers matter because people matter. We announced Ministry Matters in the spring. We laid before our church 9 different projects that we believed we needed to either upgrade or deal with in terms of things around the building, from carpet to windows to some architectural drawings for the future. It was $150,000 in order to do all these 9 projects. And I think we've mentioned it 6 times from stage, and we've seen $105,064 come in the last 9 months. It's amazing. It's amazing what God has done. Let me show you actually a quick video. Why don't you put on that video of what happened just this week downstairs? We were able to put in flooring. There's 50-year-old flooring that was in downstairs in kids' church, and so we put in some fresh carpet. So kids, you're in here this morning because we're still putting the room back together and getting ready for you for next Sunday. But this is all new carpet that went in all in front of our kids' washroom downstairs. This is our junior kids' church room that we're putting back together. Nice carpet on the ground, which will help with sound and comfort. And then all through our main kids' church area. Brand new windows on the wall, and this is all new flooring. You see a little slice here that's not done yet. We're going to put down some click flooring there connected to our kitchen. And so that is because of your generous giving to Ministry Matters. We've been able to invest, and we want our kids to know that kids' church matters. Amen. Kids' church is not daycare so that we can have church without them in the room. Did you hear me? Can I get a better amen from that? Amen. Kids' church matters because we love kids. Amen. And we want to bring them Jesus and the love of the gospel. And so much exciting things happening. This is one thing. These windows are getting done in 2 or 3 weeks. These will all be new windows in here as well from Ministry Matters. And one other thing that I mentioned in passing is the parking lot. Now, this wasn't a part of Ministry Matters, but we have been really feeling the tightness of space in our parking lot on Sunday mornings, and we've been parking on the grass. So we had 7,000 square feet of dirt and grass dug up. And we put down gravel. So if you go to the next slide there, you can see this is what it looks like now. And one more slide over, you can see a panoramic view of our parking lot. So it's all done with proper depth and granular A gravel so that whenever we want to pave that, we can pave it and it's all ready to use. But we can still park on it now. And we were able to do that not because of Ministry Matters, but because of your faithful giving, that we've been over budget in our giving this year. And so we just wrote a check and paid for that. Which, in case you're wondering, isn't cheap. Who knew gravel was so expensive? But let me tell you this. Every piece of gravel is for the glory of God. Every piece matters. Now listen to me. It's not about carpet. It's not about windows. It's not about parking spots. It's about stewarding the place and space that God has given us, so that people can gather in this place and lift up holy hands to worship King Jesus. So I get excited about building stuff, but it's not the building, it's about Jesus. It's about creating a space where we can exalt the King of Kings. Now, you might be listening to what I'm saying, and you might be tempted to think, Pastor Tim, it must be easy for you to praise the Lord for 2023, because apparently things have been going so well. But you don't know what I've been going through. Well, let me tell you this. We've had some struggles this year too. We've had some church family members leave. We've had church members suddenly pass and go home to heaven. We've had to walk through the sudden loss, and the mystery of unanswered prayers. And the truth is this, most of the hardships and the things that I've been exposed to as a pastor and walking alongside people who are hurting, most of that I can't share from this stage. But this year has not been all lollipops and rainbows and unicorns and sunshine. But here's the thing. It doesn't matter. Because our response is to praise him no matter what comes. We praise him in the good times. We praise him in the bad times. Listen to me. Praise has nothing to do with our circumstances and everything to do with the beauty of Jesus Christ. He's beautiful. So we exalt him. We exalt him because he's good. And even when we experience the weeds of this life, let me give you one example. And this is so small, but something that I've walked through this week and I've just shared in passing a little bit is my voice, is some difficulties with, I've been losing my voice. And maybe that's connected to me leading worship, and so I'm not going to be leading worship going into the new year. And so many people have stepped up and led, and thanks Carrie and Doris and Michelle and Jason and Janita stepping up and seeing that need to help so that I'm not leading worship and preaching and leading worship and preaching. But even in the losing of my voice and the pain that I've felt in my voice, you know what just dawned on me this week as I was praying and preparing for this year? That it was on my heart as a word from the Lord that this would be a year of unparalleled praise where we praised him like never before. And I can tell you this, I've never praised so much that I've lost my voice on a regular basis. Amen. So even when you see the weeds, even when you see God, this isn't from God. God's a good gift giver. This isn't from God, okay? We'll figure it out. But even in your season of suffering, pain, uncertainty, God, what is going on? You can praise the Lord. Psalm 100 verse 5 says, "For the Lord is good. His mercy endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations." Maybe the reason why you don't have a deep longing in your heart to gaze at the beauty of the Lord is because you've been distracted by the weeds that have come this year. And I want to encourage you and help you to center your focus and attention on Jesus and the beautiful things he's done for you in 2023. I wrote this down and I preached this on January 15th. I want to read this to you. I said this to you almost 12 months ago. I want you to imagine what it will be like at the end of 2023, looking back. And picture with me what it would look like to be able to say, "This year, I praised the Lord."